Welcome to the Perfectly Sane Show, episode 650. I am Chris, as always, joined by Tony.
I'd like to announce our new nominee for Speaker of the House, Taylor Swift.
She might get enough votes.
I didn't
realize. Travis Kelce is going to be majority whip.
As I said, I didn't realize we were going to win NFL. I didn't realize we were going to become a Taylor Swift show.
Earl is here as well.
I would just also like to announce that I will be going down to D.C. next week to put my hat in the ring to become Speaker of the House. Seems like an easy, breezy job. Don't need to do much. Get a paid vacation after a few weeks.
Just kick people out of their offices, evidently. Like, that sounds like that could be
no,
fun.
No, it's not their offices. I asked, so we have, like, at work, so I work for a lobbying firm, and we have a government affairs department. Person. So I asked them, like, what does it mean? What did they actually do? So apparently they have these, like, meeting room, like, suite things that get mm-hmm. assigned to people based on who they are and seniority and all this stuff. They also have their, like, legit offices. So they're not taking their offices away. They're taking away these, like... office.
I think I called them like hideaway meeting. Offices.
Yeah, they call them hideaways. So it's like where they would take you to have a meeting that's not in their actual office.
Got it. And they were this acting guy was like, Nancy Pelosi, you can no longer have your hideaway. That is now
your hideaway. Name. Yes. Yes.
Okay. So it made it seem like he was like, get the fuck out of my office. That's
it
my
sound,
office.
It sounded a lot weirder than... or a lot worse than it was. It's like, I'm going to walk up. You're going to have no way to contact your congressman because I have their entire office now. They're going to be like in a box on the street, and that's not what's happening.
Yeah, but it seems like it's also just one of those things that's like honorary for
former speakers. And
It's normally like they give – it's the former speaker, the current speaker, and like other high muckety-muck type people have them.
Right. Well, I look forward to that mayhem next week. Earl, good luck on your impending vote to become speaker. So I hope you win.
I will.
You'll be better than anybody else they are putting up.
I do my best, but honestly, that does not seem to be the case. That doesn't seem what you need to do that job.
You don't need to do your best. You really just show up and you'd be doing better than what they're doing. So
it's actually not clear what you need to do. And I think that's kind of the problem.
I will say one thing I would do is make sure there's no rules that one person could be over.
Yeah. So. Insane.
Like, I'm angry at you for not shutting down the government, so I'm taking your job away. Good work.
Yeah. And now he's still like, this is the damn Democrats' fault.
Right.
We still haven't introduced Jeff, but just before that... just the idea that they're all angry now at the Democrats because they voted with these like eight loonies. It's like, but we didn't trust Kevin McCarthy anyway. Like, we didn't want him to be speaker. Why would we protect him? Even if it was only eight loonies that like wanted him gone, why wouldn't we vote him out and throw you numbskulls into disarray?
Well, I mean, even more. I mean, I could understand why they would want to keep, you know, especially with the shutdown, like a potential shutdown again in like a month and a half. But like, he offered no concessions. He didn't go to them. Like, I feel like we're ignoring the part, like he's on social media, bring it on, and it got bought. And then you can't be like, oh, crap, I did not mean for you to bring it on like that.
Right.
And he's not a candidate right now, which is the other, like, it's over. Like, he's like, oh, I'm not even going to bother.
I mean, that's probably the best. Like, actually, when he did not win the first round of voting the first time, he should have just been like, I'm out. Like,
or
I'm,
the second time, or the third time, or the fourth like this, time. Or the
it's not
time.
Worth it. I'm giving too much up to these crazy people. And that's exactly what happened. So
you had them vote 15 times to keep a job just in 9 months. Like, that is insane how much people will sow their soul.
Oh, but Jeff is here.
Yeah.
Jeff, how's your blood pressure right now? Is it getting a little higher? like going
up. I actually did test it a little while ago, and I actually had a normal read. So,
oh, so I... so you've been like the bears have inoculated you to this sort of thing.
Oh yeah, like when they did on Sunday where they went up like they scored 28 points in the first half, and when it started to fall apart in the second half, I was just laughing, dude. I was just like, they're gonna fucking blow it. Like we all knew as soon as Denver got their second touchdown, like everyone here knew it. Everyone's like, fuck, dude, this is it. They're going to fucking blow it. But yeah, so I don't know. It would be nice to see them win, though.
I want them to win for you, Jeff.
We just sacked them nice and good. Anyways, yeah. Hello. Been a little minute. Yes,
it was. You missed last week. We talked about some stuff. We got some stuff to talk about this week too. And unfortunately, it's all people losing their jobs again.
Great, wonderful, and people going to jail or not jail, but being arrested.
Yes, I forgot about Ubisoft. That. Yeah, the Ubisoft in France, and this has been ongoing for a few years now. The investigation. I think the report came out 3 years ago, maybe longer than that, where there's a kind of an undercurrent of abuse and shitty ass behavior, but I believe sexual assault was mentioned in these complaints as well. And Yves Guillemot, the CEO of Ubisoft, was like, I know nothing of this. Even though it seems like he may have moved people around and hidden some stuff. Well, the French police have made arrests of at least five former Ubisoft executives in regards to that. So
yeah. It wouldn't shock me if this is the beginning, that like the tip of the iceberg, like people start turning on him. Like, because that is like, I mean, I'm not quite sure how French law works, but in the U.S. that would be like a conspiracy, right? Like you have aided and abetted people in committing these crimes and then tried to hide it afterwards.
Yeah. Like, so we'll see if he was involved. I think that will happen. If he wasn't, then really, like, you just have no clue what's going on with your company. And that's pretty bad too.
You should also probably go.
Yeah.
But Ubisoft is privately owned, right? I think this is the thing that's insulated them for so long that like there's no board to like boot them out.
They're publicly traded.
Okay.
But the Guillemots,
they own most of the shares.
They own the voting shares. Actually, Tencent owns like 50% of the company now. But I think that somehow the Guillemots have voting majority. Individually, like as a family, they run the company. So they could vote anybody out that would be like trying to vote yous out. And that just seems shitty.
I have a hard time voting from prison, which is where they all belong.
Yes.
You could apparently be president from prison, so.
Different country, though.
And I should correct myself. I said they were arrested. They were detained by French police in this investigation. I don't know if they were officially arrested or not. At least from the report I'm reading on Polygon. Five former Ubisoft employees were detained in France. So.
Yeah, I mean, we're talking about like French law, so all like the definitions are different.
Yeah,
so we can't, like I don't know.
It's hard to know what any of that means and what comes of any of that. But it looks like some action is finally being made on that. That investigation originally started about 3 years ago. So,
and you never like you always see like lawsuits about this thing. You almost never see it criminalized, right? Like they never get held to a point where they could go to jail or you know be indicted, you know, become a felon, fix it so they can't like ruin their career forever. Like it always like seems to come down to some sort of like monetary reparations for the wrong party.
Yeah.
This is a different path.
Yeah. I mean, we here in the U.S. have seen it for years with the, you know, the stuff coming out of the Catholic Church. Like, it's very rarely that those priests end up in jail. It's that the Catholic Church ends up paying some monetary sum out. So, it would be nice if people were actually held accountable for any crimes they committed.
This is a great way for France to celebrate the new Assassin's Creed game, too. Like, perfect timing.
It is true. That did launch this week.
Today.
To fairly good reviews. Not great reviews, but good reviews. It seems like it's out. It's out now.
Today, yeah.
Wow.
I don't think you'll like it, Jeff.
Like
no, I don't think so. I did see something cool. Like, I don't know if it was real or what. I just did see something today that like there's like a filter in the game to make it look like the original game. Like give like a bad graphics filter or something. I don't know.
Oh, I don't want that. Honestly, the game looks like visually, it looks great. Like, I don't know if I'd want to look at it through like a shitty,
hey, honestly, shitty
360 filter.
If what I saw was like serious or. What exactly that entails, like what that means, but like if it means it just looks like old graphics or what, but I did see that. But yeah, it looks like it's supposedly just like the old type of Assassin's Creed game, which we knew.
Yeah, we talked about more linear, more stealth based. I believe it stars Basim, who was in Valhalla. It's one of the assassins that kind of holds up in your little village. I'm interested in playing it, but I have not finished Valhalla yet, so I will get to it at some point. I'm sure it will be.
I installed it today. I own it. But I'm going on a trip tomorrow, so I don't want to, you know, start it before I leave.
Yeah. I'm sure it will be on sale. As well. What was that, Earl?
That sounds like excuses to me. Back in my days, before we traveled.
The other news, there were some layoffs this week.
Lots and lots of them.
Naughty Dog laid off 25 contracted developers. And in doing so, evidently it put it was working on that Last of Us multiplayer game, and these were people that were working on that, so we're not sure what is happening with that Last of Us multiplayer project that was supposed to be out 3 years ago. So maybe instead of dumping money into it like Ubisoft is with that pirate game that's never coming out. Maybe Naughty Dog was like, this isn't working, and backed off. Bad things going for you, Jeff?
The running back, you could tell his ankle's fucked. I think they just took him out.
Additional to Naughty Dog, it was... I don't like the way this headline is worded on Polygon, but all unionized Dragon Age Dreadwolf QA workers have been laid off.
Oh no.
So I read that headline to you. What do you guys, where do you guys think these people worked at?
Well, I would hope they worked at not Bethesda, BioWare, but
no. So they worked for an outsourced studio, Keyword Studios, and the people that were laid off, the contract that these 13 or 16 people, 13 and three of them that were previously left, 13 people that were working in Edmonton, the QA contract with BioWare was up, and they did not renew it. And Keyword Studios laid off these employees. I don't know. The headline to me is like, BioWare bad. Like, that's how I read that. And it's like, BioWare's not the one that laid these people off. Like,
right.
It's a shitty headline. It's bad that, you know, it's sad that these people got laid off, and we don't know if it was related to them unionizing or not. But I don't think pinning it on BioWare is
going to help anything or anyone.
No, it's just bad reporting.
When you say it like that, I feel like it's worse to do it like, retaliation for the union, because I feel like that is that kind of sullies it in a different way. Because again, I think unions are doing a good job recently, but there is still very much a stigma of years and years and years of people saying that union's bad, you pay them to do nothing for you. I think that's just something we're kind of getting out of now. And even then, I don't even think that's true, because there's still people who hate unions who
are, absolutely, yeah.
Mark will work for them, but.
And in this case, like, there's nothing the union can do, right? Like, the power of the union is in the fact that, like, you have a group of people that can go to management and go, look, like, here's, you collectively bargain to get what you want. when you're like, we don't need this, we're eliminating this whole department, like, what doesn't matter if you're unionized or not,
right?
Like, they have no power at that point.
I just say sometimes it does happen where jobs will do that to get rid of union positions, but yes, that's not always the case. So, but yes, that is very much something that they would do. It's like, oh, we're getting rid of all of this, and then we'll rehire people in like 6 months that are not part of the union.
Yeah, because there's always a waiting period. Like, you sometimes can't just rehire those positions immediately.
Yeah.
Because that would be like anti-union, and there are laws in place to protect against that. But
yeah, it's like how temp agencies can't hire you right away. I think they have to wait, like, because then, oh no, an employment can't hire you right away from a temp agency, because then you cannot, like, the middle, the finest fee or something. Like, if you get a job, you have to wait like 6 months so that it wasn't through the temp agency.
Well, it's either that, or they have to, like, pay the temp agency a finder's fee.
Well, yeah, that's what, but if it's like, oh, they applied for a job like 3 months later,
it just magically happened.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did we lose or gain someone, or what happened?
I heard a click, but everything's still here.
Craig, so. Are you still here? Fun little aside. Been
spying on us. That's
fun.
What's happening.
Fun little aside.
Yeah.
My union is in contract negotiations right now, and I just kind of love the timing of that, because it's just like, hey, you see these other guys over here, UPS, they got paid. I think it's going to work out well for us. Currently, the word is, like, where the negotiations are at is a $10 an hour raise, which is, like, pretty good.
Wow. All right. This podcast from now on sponsored by Jeff.
Yeah. But you want to hear the funny thing is, like, because we're pointing to, like, look at what UPS is, you know, getting paid and shit now. And management is like, yeah, but we think of you more like Uber Eats. Like, ooh. Yeah, dude, that's what we do. We should definitely compare us to Uber Eats.
That is you're more vital than UPS. Like,
we go to every address every day. So it's like, yeah, it's
you're like Uber Eats. Like, no, they're like Uber Eats.
I'm sure it looks better to the manager. Like, hey, man, look at they're not getting paid that much.
Awesome. And
I don't know do not know what Uber Eats gets paid. I'm just saying, though. Like,
they don't, I mean, they don't really get paid much. But yeah. I just said, aside to your side, it's very funny sometimes to see, UPS, like, people know UPS, and I think the pilots got a decent raise recently. It's like when people are like, oh, I don't, like, if they get that raise, that's not a bad thing for you. You should then go and be like, look, they're making this. I want to make this now.
Gonna help everybody. All this stuff happening with, especially when the auto workers win, which they will, it's just gonna help everybody, because it's just raising the standard, you know.
Yeah. At the rail workers ask you every, like, I think it's getting to the point. I mean, not many positives have come from COVID, but I think one of them is people realizing, oh, we have power in this situation. Because, like, look how many people have tried and tried. Like, we're going back to work. And everybody's like, I'm not feeling that today.
No, no going back.
So I was at a business dinner this past week, and one of the guys there was like, I don't know how the UAW stuff came up, but he was like laughing at what they were requesting. And I was like, you realize that, like, when you collectively bargain, you ask for what you ask for stuff like that you know you're not going to get.
It ends up in the middle, yeah.
Right. Like, you start high, and then you're going to go low, and then you end up in the middle somewhere that's comparable for everybody. And he was like, well, it's like, but it's still ridiculous. I'm like, is it ridiculous?
Not that far out there. I mean, I love that they were like, you know what? 4-day week.
Right. Right. And like, they're not going to get that, but maybe they get something close. Like, maybe they get a couple extra days off a year, and maybe instead of working a 40-hour week, they're working a 37.5-hour week. Like, people are just so fucking dumb.
It's so dumb. Because people, I never understand why people tend to, I mean, I understand why, but I never get when people are like, oh, you know, I got to take the side of the people who are already making the money because reasons. Like, yes, you should be cheering them on, because, like, if they somehow get a 4-day weekend, next season contract for us, I'm like, you know, they're doing 4-day weekends. Can we get 3?
Right.
Like, people be like, well, you know, you always end up paying for it, and then the company's just going to raise prices on everything. And it's like, they are already, everything's gone up already. So we got to, everything has to go up. Like, but the thing I love too about, and with our negotiations, I hear, like, I'm like, I would take that $10 an hour right now. Don't tell them that. Let's say we want 20, you know, and let's land at 15.
Exactly.
But yeah. That's how negotiations work.
Like, well, not that. For some people are rolling over for the first offer because, you know, it is, we're not going to get any better than this. Like, maybe, I don't know. Try it out. See if it fits.
Can we at least try? Can we try to get better?
I mean, the odds are they're not going to take away money from you. I'm not saying it won't happen, but the odds are they're not going to lower your pay. So.
The thing in my mind already, I'm like, well, if the negotiations are at $10 raise right now, like, I could pretty much expect that you'll get at least that much. I don't know how we're going to fuck it up if it comes in lower than that.
So, like, it might come in like a percentage, or it might be like, oh, you get this, you know, like, it's $10 over 4 years. Like, each year you get like $250 or something.
Yeah, it could be over the length of the contract.
Not union related, but one more unfortunate games industry laying off. Telltale Games, which isn't the original Telltale Games, but is using their name, and has just released the Expanse video game, and they're working on The Wolf Among Us 2. They have reportedly laid off most of their workers. But somehow, all projects are still in development. So,
I am.
But they're never coming out ever.
I'm very curious about that math.
Yeah,
we have nobody working on this, but they're still coming. So don't worry.
We'll rehire them sometime, eventually. I think that's more. We own the rights, and hopefully, someone buys the rights, and we can give what we've done to them. Please.
I don't get it at all. But I mean, Chris just mentioned it. Because when I heard that, I'm like, I thought they were out of business. So somebody bought the name.
The name, yes. So Telltale closed shop a few years ago during I think it was The Walking Dead season 4. And then Skybound, for whatever reason, I'm drawing a blank on the writer of The Walking Dead. He stepped in.
Robert Kirkman.
Yes, Kirkman's company, Skybound, stepped in, and they finished production on season 4 with a lot of the original Walking Dead staff that they hired contract-wise. When that was over, they lost their jobs again, but, you know, they were at least able to finish their project and got paid for it. But then a holding company bought the name to Telltale and reworked it and reopened a studio. And some of those people are old Telltale employees. Some of them aren't, but, yeah, it's a weird situation, but, also, this all happened early September. I guess somebody broke their NDA, which is we now know about this. Because,
well, I mean, I guess it was probably for severance, but like I feel like that. I feel like there's NDAs you can sign for stuff. I feel like being laid off shouldn't be an NDA.
I think they ruled those NDAs are like illegal. Like you can, like none of them are enforceable anymore.
Yeah.
So maybe that's what happened there. Somebody like, this isn't actually valid and leaked it to
the I'm just going
to
tell everyone now.
Yeah. So another shitty week in working in the games industry.
I've been thinking about, you hear all these stories all the time about these layoffs and it happens all the time. It reminds me of like when you're like reading a medieval history and you keep reading about how all the nobles keep dying and keep dying and keep getting killed and executed or whatever, but there's still always nobles left.
Yeah.
Like you never get the stories about how people became a new noble. And like, where are the stories about this studio hired 500 people, this studio hired, and so it seems like they're always laying people off, but the industry's not getting any smaller. There's not less games than there were before.
Well, there is to a degree, or not as many big games. But I guess I get your point. I think of that, honestly, that's with the gaming industry and more with the tech industry. It's like the tech industry had a ton of massive layoffs this year as well. And I'm always like, but like, you just said off like, you know, at Google 10,000 people, Amazon. And it's like, but like, people are hiring them.
Yes.
So, but what company is that? Like, I assume it's that one company, but I assume there's like smaller companies we don't hear about that are like increasing their workflow.
Yeah, it's mid-tier tech companies that are, you know, they're not the Googles, they're not the Amazons or Microsofts, but, those people are being gobbled up by them because like unemployment isn't skyrocketing. Despite all these massive layoffs, like it's holding pretty steady, or there's actually job creation in some.
There are jobs available. Like there are so many jobs right now that are just unfilled. So,
I'm just laughing about Tony reading medieval histories. Nerd.
That doesn't sound surprising to me.
No, it's not
at
all.
Why is that shocking?
It's not shocking. It's just...
At some point, you got to run out of nobles, but you never do. It's like they keep being born.
That's the way you start that. You're whole, like when you're reading medieval histories, as you do.
Yeah.
Well, you'll read like, oh, they executed half the nobility.
I will not read.
Okay, where did they all go?
Jeff is
I think Jeff is just making like he's like I am not reading that ever.
I'm reading
Twitter.
It would make you a better postman. It really would.
Can you read Twitter anymore because you don't have the hyperlinks for the URL?
Oh yeah. Dude, what the fuck? That is just such a baffling change. Like you just think you're looking at an image.
Yeah.
Right. They all look like you can't tell the difference between articles and images.
Well, now, and it's like he clapped back at somebody and was like, somebody was like, this is terrible. And he was like, really? Really? You're listening to the media? Like, just look at the before and after. And like, so people have been posting before and afters. And it's like, before you would have like the headline at the bottom, it would tell you kind of what you're clicking into. And now it's just like a picture of Elon Musk and they're saying he's a cannibal.
Oh yeah,
I saw people goofing on that today. He committed suicide. He died.
It's like, yeah, which one's better? Which one is actually telling you what the link is going to, as opposed to just an image of you nitwit?
I really hope John is still watching this game.
It's getting close. Getting closer.
It's exactly what Tony said, is like the defense is just nothing. Especially
This is what happens when your defensive coordinator gets fired for whatever it is he did.
I would love some
masturbating in the company of like other coaches, or like
he's sending dick pics, and you can see like he's in his office from the dick pics, a la a certain other story that we know about. Sorry.
He's like on a virtual meeting, and like naked people are walking around behind him. Fields was upset. Was angry.
What have you guys been playing this week?
I've been playing a bunch of stuff.
Yeah?
I've been playing like side quests or whatever in New Game Plus of Starfield. Because you could just like,
if you got in like a new ship and like you're kind of back on board, and like you were a little down on it 2 weeks ago.
I took
your shit away.
Yeah. So like, to, I guess, reiterate whatever the fuck I said, because who knows what I said. But I just don't agree with the reviewers who are like, yeah, the way to play this is just like do the main story first and then, you know, do other stuff in New Game Plus, because anything is lost once you go into New Game Plus. And you know, like the only thing you keep is your stats. Like you don't even keep your ship that you have. And you know, it's just like you're starting over in a new world, and you do get a new baller ship, and you get a new like spacesuit that's pretty baller. But like other than that, you're like starting the game over. You get the choice of like skipping the story or not, and you know, so I skipped the story. But then you're just like, all right, I have nothing to do. So I've been going just to like New Atlantis and Neon, just going around talking to people and just doing that. You will pick up like side quests easily, like,
yeah,
very easily. Like sometimes you'll be walking past somebody and they'll be talking about something, and then that adds like an activity.
Yep,
if you go do that activity, it becomes a quest, you know.
Talk to that person that you overheard.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
It becomes a quest, and becomes, it's a whole quest line.
Yeah. So I've done so in New Atlantis, I went into the bank and just started talking to the teller there. And he's like, you know, would you like to go collect some debt, like, you know, from a loan that we did? And I was like, sure. And that became like kind of a whole quest line where I would just keep going back to them and getting a new, like, basically bounty, like go find this person and collect from them. I went and I one guy was being an asshole and I killed him. Sarah like divorced me at this point because of that. But then I was like, on the next mission I'll be nice. And this where this bank quest line kind of builds to, there's this old guy who took out a big loan from the bank, and he's like, he just took the money and ran. He's like off on some planet in the middle of nowhere. He's got a little like, you know, shack or whatever, and he's just living in there. And I go and confront him. I'm like, I'm here to get the money. He's like, I don't have the money. I'm like, well, what'd you do? You know? And he's like, well, here's the thing. I realize the system's rigged and I'm getting fucked over. So I decided I'm going to fuck them over. He's like, so I just took the money and I ran. And I was like, can I get it? He's like, no, I don't have any fucking money. And he's like, I'm like, so what are we going to do here? He's like, well, you can just say you didn't see me. I'm like, I'm not going to do that. And he's like, well, like, I see, you know, the way I see it, you have like two choices here. He's like, you could, you know, you could fight me or you could just leave. And then I had the option of paying his debt for him. And I was like, that sounds interesting. And I might get Sarah back on my side for doing this. So I was like, I'll do it. It was like 10 grand. I'm like, I'll do it. He's like, thanks, man. That's like your lifesaver. That's like really crazy. You do that for a stranger, blah, blah, blah. And for doing so, I got a gun. Like he gave me a pistol, a pretty good pistol, but that was it. Kind of. And then I realized I didn't have Sarah with me anymore. Cause she left my like party because she was so,
she's like, fuck you. I'm done with you. So you,
like,
you,
she didn't even see me do good. Yeah. But I thought that was like an interesting, and that's it. Like that's the end of the quest line, is that guy. But I thought the guy's story was pretty neat. How he's just like, you know, system fucked me over. Then I'm in Neon, and there's this guy who like basically he's like a drug dealer, even though I think it's like a kind of a, I don't know how much you guys have messed around in Neon, but there's like this stuff called Aurora.
Yep. And, there's a whole club built around like people coming in Aurora.
It's only legal in the Astral Lounge, but there's this guy making something called Blend, which is basically like watered down Aurora, and he's selling it on the streets. And I'm helping him do that. Like he made me get a job at like a pharmaceutical company so that I could fucking steal their product to help him manufacture. That's pretty fun. And that goes places I won't spoil because it's kind of interesting if you do it. Just a bunch of stuff like that. I'm like involved in a gang war on Neon. And this is all just by like
I did the gang war.
Yeah. And this is just all by like dicking around, like just literally just like walking around talking to people. So I thought I was out, but it's pulled me back in. I am enjoying doing it. And this is like the fun part of their games are these little stories like that, that are just like this neat little thing that you could kind of stumble upon. And if you keep going down the rabbit hole, it kind of leads somewhere.
Yeah. I've been doing the same thing on Aquila. Like if you like basically just follow the quest line, like the main quest lines, you miss out on all this like cool stuff that's happening in the background. That's so much fun. Like there's a planet of clones out there that you have to help.
Yeah.
Like there's a planet where there's like this ship above it, and I won't ruin it if you haven't found it. But there's this ship above it, and you have to decide what to do with like the beings on the ship because it's over a resort planet, and they don't like the fact that there's this thing like blocking their sun or whatever the fuck it is. Like get rid of them.
Yeah,
and there's a whole lot of stuff like that. It's just so cool.
It's just cool because it's like littered everywhere. You can stumble upon it, like you could easily miss it, and it, you know, sometimes it leads to like a whole thing. I thought the bank thing was kind of interesting, like where it ended. It was just this guy that was like, "Fuck the system."
And... So I finished three of the faction quest lines. I left the Crimson Fleet one because what I think I'm going to do is, like, you know, do the restart of the universe and then do that one. That's my goal.
But I just don't understand where critics were coming from saying, oh, you should just do the main quest and skip all the stuff. Like, I don't see what I gained by doing that. I really don't. Yeah. Like, it's just...
In fact, you probably missed out because...
Yeah.
Because then you had no, like, the feeling of loss or the feeling of, like, your belonging in this particular universe was gone because you weren't there very long.
Yeah, and that's...
You hadn't done anything. And, like, okay, now I'm moving on. Well, from what? Yeah.
And things just feel less meaningful because of, I guess, kind of spoilery things, but multiverse... You know, bullshit.
And I think that's kind of like in one multiverse, you're supposed to be like a UC Vanguard person, and another one, you're supposed to be Crimson Fleet. Like, I think that's kind of the point.
I think that's what their intention was telling people: you should do it. Like, you should go through and play the main quest because each iteration of you could be a different experience.
But like,
And that's not how normally you play Bethesda games because you're like, I want to do everything.
Right. And people would freak out if they locked that stuff off too. So if you're like, I'm playing the Vanguard and I'm trying to move off this other quest line, and like, no. What do you mean no?
That's what they should have done if they really wanted you to commit to kind of being able to each iteration is a new you. They should have just been like, all right, well, if you're in the Vanguard, like, you know, the pirate group hates you or the Rangers hate you or whatever, and it locks you off from doing that.
Yeah,
and it gives you incentive. That. And now instead it's like, well, I can still be a Ranger. I can still be Vanguard. I can still be a pirate. It's like, why would I give up everything I've earned to do that?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. I kind of agree with what you're saying there. Exactly. But like, so yeah, but I don't know. It's still a really fun game, and I don't know.
I think that you should do the main quest at least early on to get to the point where it's like, this is what the main thing is. Like, you know, where you, like, whether or not you use magic powers or not.
Right.
I think that that's like an interesting twist enough that it's like, you should do that because otherwise it's like, Well, you know, it's just living in the world.
It's interesting just from a story perspective to get that far into it to understand like what exactly like the deal is here.
Yeah.
Like I would plus say if you don't, play it how you would normally play a Bethesda game. Like that's how I do it. I'll do some of the main quests, then I start, you know, I get sucked into this story. Just play it like you would. Like I don't get it. But I am really like anxious or looking forward to you guys getting to the end of the main quest because like I want to know how you guys feel about where it goes narratively and the choices you have to make because I found it like I find the multiverse shit like it's like played out but like what they do with it near the end was a hard choice for me to make because I'm like I don't know this guy has some points like you know I'm trying to like talk around it a little bit but
or you have to choose between the hunter and the emissary that whole
kinda yeah are you have you done that
yes
you're near the end then
I'm getting close
Jeff I know your issues with the multiverse across the board you may want to stay away from Mortal Kombat 1 or Mortal 1 Kombat.
Oh, I mean, I'll be fine. I fucking don't even pay attention to the story of those games. Are you playing Mortal Kombat 1?
I have not, but I've heard lots of people, and like they say, it's done terribly. Like,
I think
story's done terribly.
I think it's done terribly because of the choices they make.
Yes,
to basically have characters in the game that you didn't like. There's no justification as to why.
Because yeah. Mortal Kombat is to me just like I don't care about that. I mean, it's cool. Like, I think they do a good job with like the story shit usually, but I'm just there for the cool fucking shit. Like, and
just,
I will
just want to
like,
see shit break.
Yeah,
bones get crunched.
I mean, I think that you know, it is a really awesome game at this point, but like. And I tend to play Mortal Kombat 1, but I know it'll be really cheap, bundled with all the DLC at some point. There's talk of some big horror icons that like doing that again, like they did in X. But like different, I forgot who was rumored.
He had an image up, and like he had X's over the ones they've already used. Leaving, I think it was like what Chucky, the puppet from Saw.
Yes, can you imagine these as like playable characters?
No,
oh my god, they'll figure it out. They'll figure it out, man. Like, it's gonna be. I really like. It's so weird because I hate fighting games, but like, man, the modern Mortal Kombat is so fun. Like. It's just don't go try it. Like, if you're like me, don't go try to play with anybody online. Play against computer on easy and maybe with your friend. That's it. I would get destroyed the minute I went online.
Tony, did you play anything else besides Starfield?
There are games other than Starfield?
I mean, some.
It saddens me. Like I really haven't because I don't want to like get into something.
Yeah, I understand.
But next week, so because I'm like the Lamplighters League and Assassin's Creed, I both have sitting installed ready to go.
I'm interested. I have the Lamplighter League, right? That's what it's called.
Yeah.
I have that installed on my PC. I'm looking forward to trying that out. And you have Assassin's Creed, so maybe we'll hear about them. Earl, did you play anything?
I did week? For one. I played a little game called Payday 3.
Okay.
I finally got to dig in time with that. The last game was way old, so it's way before my time on this show. Huge fan of the franchise. I think there's really nothing kind of it on the market. I guess the closest thing would probably be like an Assassin's Creed. Oh, actually, I guess Hitman would be the same. The closest thing, where you know, like part of it, if you are, you know, a due diligence person, is really just kind of walking around and you're in the environment, you know, the randomized environment, you're in where, you know, cameras are, where guards are, maybe key people are, while you can do it peacefully. And then adapting as everything goes completely wrong, for your heist and trying to your best to survive until you can. So I played with three other friends, so you had a full squad, and not a single mission went as intended.
Shocking.
I know. It is always just a case of like who's going to screw up first and how, and where is everybody else? Because somebody can screw up. Like, you know, like you can have one person who's masked and they can do this stuff and you can still sneak around. But like once you kind of get busted, it's all hands on deck. And like we had some like, okay, this is going well. We're getting, and then it's like, oh no, it's like what happened? I don't know. I walked too far and you just hear sirens blaring and everything. And again, I think that, you know, I think the game is the most fun during those segments where it's just pure chaos. Got like, you know, you got hostages, you got police officers trying to break in, you got all this thing, you know, all this things going chaotic, and you're still trying to like rob a bank. And so far, I mean, it has not reinvented the wheel in any big fashion. It's still Payday. It's still very much, you know, like do your best to case the joint, do your best to get out with as much money as you can without getting shot or taken into custody as it is, because you don't die. There's still some annoying enemies. There's one in particular that very much like Left 4 Dead's Pouncer, where it's like if they catch you, you basically go in a prolonged, they will just beat the crap out of you unless one of your teammates is nearby. So it's like one of those things where like, you just kind of want to work in pairs. That's that. Well, work in close proximity to each other so you don't wander off into like four different directions when things is going down. Yeah, outside of that, there's like an overkill weapon they added, which you level up by, you know, you get by killing certain stuff and getting it. But outside of that, it feels and looks like Payday. It looks, you know, I said Dead Presidents. It always makes me think of that or The Purge with like the giant mask and the fancy suits and stuff like that. I will say, as I would say with most games, I really, really, really hate these games nowadays, where it's like, we need to have five different currencies for you to interact with. We'll give you one. One you can buy with real cash. One you can buy with our currency, but it's a different currency that you need enough of. So you're probably going to want to get an actual cash. I'm like, I don't. Give me one currency. I mean, make things real expensive, but don't give me all these different currencies. It just drives me up the wall. But yeah, really, really fun game. And yeah. Recommend it. I mean, it is on Game Pass, so it's an easy get. So yeah,
nice. Anything else this week?
No, because I'm in the fun part of adulthood where I'm packing for a move, so it's just been all packing and cleaning all week.
Yeah,
that's not fun.
Oh, which is also why I won't be around next week.
Fair enough.
Does Payday have like a single player campaign, or like
how does that? It has a campaign. You can play on your own. You'll get bots. You can't do the game on your own. So you'll get, I don't know how many bots you get because I've always played with friends, but you'll get at least one bot, I know. Because again, part of it is like stuff will go down. You need people to help you. There's enemies and stuff like that. There will be times where you need to do two or three different tasks at once. So it's good to work with people. I think, you know, if we ever, I think it would be a fun game to play as a group.
I would give it a shot.
Have you folks ever played Payday?
I've not.
Oh, I haven't either.
When you compared it to Hitman, though, that like, that kind of like made my hair stand up on my arm.
I'm not gonna say it's Hitman, but it's like more in the like. You know, like you walk around, you're like, okay, what can I use? What can I, okay, if I go here, if I, you know, start here, I can probably knock this guard out before he hurts anybody, take out the security camera, sneak through this back, find his key card. And it's like, okay, this is all going well. And then you're like, you missed this one person who came around the corner. They set off an alarm, and now it's just like all out crap. Now I'm just winging it. My perfectly aimed pen that I spent like 5 minutes scouting the location for has gone to shit. And there's some missions which are not, they are not, they're basically missions that you're already kind of boned on. It's already like you robbed the bank, now the cops are after you in the next mission. So this is more like you have to get to safety quickly and not necessarily like, oh, we're going to have a well-planned thing. It's like, okay, we got to watch out for snipers. We got to watch out for, you know, reinforcements. Okay, they're blowing out parts of the bridge. We have to, like, keep hostages so they don't alert the cops. Stupid hostages. It's also, we're being asked that, I'm like, it would be so terrible if anybody ever heard us with some of this stuff, because we're like, no, you got to take out the hostage. Shoot them. Okay, did you get that? And I'm like, oh, if anybody ever heard us talking about them while we're playing this game, it sounds so terrible.
Kill the hostages.
Because, I mean, part of one of the mechanics is you can take hostages, but you can also, like, negotiate to give up hostages in return. It's like, you can give up a hostage during the assault phase, like the cops are 10 seconds longer. You can, you know, trade hostages for, like, supplies. So they'll drop med kits and ammo for you. So, like, you want to take as many hostages as you can once things start going off the rails. They do come in handy. It's just really weird to take hostages. Out of principle, I will do it because I need their resources. It's just weird to say.
Fair enough. Yeah, I would give that a shot. I also want to try Warhammer 40K Darktide, which just hit
consoles. I did not even know what that was, but, like, my friends pointed out that it's on Game Pass and it's 4-player co-op. I'm like, yeah, okay, I'm in. It's free. Why not?
It's similar to, what was that? Was that zombie game we played?
World War Z?
Yeah, something like that. Like, where, you know, it's mission based. You go through and you kill lots of.
It was something Zombie 4, wasn't it? Like, it was like a part 4.
Zombie Army.
We played Zombie Army 4, yeah.
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 The one we kept on shooting. Somebody kept on
shooting. I didn't even play it, and I remember.
Yeah, well, we did both of them, I think.
Yes. And it's similar to that, in that type of structure, so. Jeff, you also played some Lies of P.
I did. I like ran. I was like, you know what? It's on Game Pass. It's not a huge download. Let's give it a shot, you know. And it seems well made. Like, it seems pretty quality, and it seems like it, you know, it is sticking very, very closely to like Dark Souls, like. You know, I'm not saying anything like original here, but like the font, the way the menus look, very close, right? But one, it's kind of hard to go back to playing like a traditional Dark Souls type game after Elden Ring, which was like so like freeing and opening, like, kind of like playing Breath of the Wild for the first time, where you're like, I could go anywhere, I'm gonna find cool shit to do, and here it's like you're going through a very designed level, like it's very much. Regular
Dark Souls. There's like shortcuts you can unlock and stuff. And it's
100%. You know.
Yeah, it's not an open world. It's a level that you are exploring.
And you know, there's some cool like little wrinkles to like the combat and this and that. But like for the most part, I don't love the combat because. It takes a lot of cues from like Bloodborne and Sekiro, which are the ones I don't like. I know everyone loves Bloodborne, and there are people that like Sekiro for whatever reason, but it's so parry based, like the fighting, that I don't see myself like getting through the whole game. But it's something fun to mess around with. But yeah, so like for instance. And I know you talked about it because you tried it out, right, Chris?
A little bit, yeah.
Yeah, you know, whatever your Estus flasks are in this, like your health potion things. If you run out of them, you could kind of refill them without going to a bonfire by like parrying while you're fighting. And it's just, you know, it's just like everything revolves around that. You also, I think, fill up this other meter that lets you do special moves by parrying. It's just so much tapping the left bumper at the right second. And it's just, it's not how I play those games. And that's why I didn't like Bloodborne, because, you know, Bloodborne would kind of rely on that a little bit too. Sekiro, like, the boss fights were based around that. And it's kind of, I don't love it. And that's kind of what this game is like leaning into, But I mean, if you like that stuff, this game seems like pretty well done, like well done, like polished and stuff. It's really weird playing through like a Pinocchio story in one of these types of games. But it seems solid. It seems fine. I'm still kind of like eyeing Lords of the Fallen, which is like, you know, a week or so away. So,
all right. I played a couple things this week. One of them for so anyway, you guys know, like I like my achievements, and I'm part of this one website, and they do like you know, special community challenges and stuff, and they're doing something called Trick or Treat, where you'll get a random challenge for it. So one of them was came up, gives you a list of 10 achievements that you've not earned from games you played, and it's like find one on here. One of them was an achievement in Mutant Football League.
Ooh.
So I went back to play that. And that game is a ton of fun. I have not played it in 6 years. It's Blitz. It's like it's Blitz football.
Is that a game?
You don't know. It's not.
You own it. You know you own it. Yeah,
I owned it. So I have not played it in 6 years. They have continued to update that game since then. In fact, there are new rosters. And like the names of the players are like they're parodies on NFL players. Like there's like a Kansas City Chiefs type team. I forget what the actual name of the team is, but like their quarterback is Hatrick, my homies. And so like they have like goofy names like that for the Philadelphia Evils. It's a Waylon Hurts. So like they've renamed like stuff, and they have like a CJ Stroud guy for their Texans type team. So these are new. Like they've recently updated it for this year, which I thought was pretty cool. And it, you know, it plays like Blitz, so it's 7-on-7. You're running like three receivers down the field. But in the middle of the field, you know, there's razor blades going across, or there's mines on the field, or sometimes sandworms come out and will eat you depending upon what field you're on. So there's all these like different obstacles and stuff. Yeah, just like they do. It's really fun. The only thing I was like, I didn't realize that the writing in this game was so shitty. Like your players will like after like a big play, like they'll do like an interview type thing, and they don't talk, but they'll have text underneath them. And I saw one that came up, and it was like, just like Donald Trump, I'm making football great again. I was like, are these people bad people? Did they do bad things?
Possibly.
I don't know if it was just a joke or if it was like there's a lot of like. It's a lot of sexist jokes that the announcers make, and they make like it's just I don't want that. But the game is really fun. It's like really fun to play. It's just that other stuff not on board with. And then I played Alone in the Dark, 2008. You guys remember this game?
Yes.
Yeah.
Why?
Okay. So I've had it on my 360 hard drive probably for a decade at this point. And, you know, it's spooky season. So I was like, all right, I got some like horror games that I haven't played. I'll play this one. That was a mistake.
Why?
That game is so bad.
Did you ever play Tormented Souls? I think that you'd like that.
I don't think I did. That's the one that's like Resident Evil. I think I did.
It's 100% old school Resident Evil. You would love it.
Yeah. And I think that's one that like I have like flagged to the side. But I was like, I just want to like clear off the shit on my old 360 hard drive.
Just deleted that shit like 18 years ago or whatever, like fucking a decade ago.
Yeah, a decade or more. It is bad. I looked up the reviews and like they're like, you know, 60s or so, and like that to me is like, that's not a terrible game. This is a terrible game.
Yeah, I don't remember it getting good review, like decent even. Like
it got okay reviews on Metacritic. I was like, this is, and like I'm surprised, like reading it. It's like the game is fundamentally broken. Like it requires you to play in both first and third person to move around. Like moving in third person, your guy does not move properly. He's terrible. So you have to go into first person by pressing Y to move at all. But then any of the combat stuff, you kind of need to like, you need to both move in and out of first and third person. It's so, so bad. The combat's awful. You have to burn the enemies to get them dead, but sometimes there's no fire around, so they just keep respawning. I played about halfway through, and I just can't anymore. They keep giving you these driving sequences that are, if you fail, like if you crash, or anything.
That's what I want in a survival horror game. Yeah.
And there's multiple ones where it's like, if you fail, like you have to start at the beginning and do it again. And it's like, I cannot go any longer. If it was linear, at least I might've been like, all right, I'll try and push through. But I heard like, once you get to chapter 7, that you have to go, it opens up, it becomes an open world game at that point, and you have to go and destroy all these. Like there's these trees that you have to burn, and you have to burn enough of them to open up the final area. I was like, I know, I just can't. So that game is trash. Nobody should play it. I'm retiring that one away. I may bump Tormented Souls up though, Jeff.
You really should. I think you would really like it. Like it's almost on par with, you know, those early Resident Evils. It's exactly of that ilk. Like it's, you're gonna dig it. Like, I'd be shocked if you did not like it. Put it that way.
I may go and play that one. I am still looking forward to the new Alone in the Dark that's coming out. But that seems like it's more original style Alone in the Dark, which is more Resident Evil-ish, but more puzzle focused than combat focused. So I am looking at that got pushed to January though. So which is probably best for it, because it was going to get slaughtered against Alan Wake and Spider-Man and Mario and Assassin's Creed and everything coming out this month. So
this month is nuts for movies and games. It's like just a crazy month.
What's out for movies?
Well, there's like weird things for me. Like, next week, my theater near me is playing Friday 13th 2. You got the Taylor Swift.
Wait, because of Taylor Swift?
No. And then I'm going to see the Taylor Swift as well because, you know.
Tomorrow's a huge day for horror.
A bunch of stuff hitting streaming tomorrow.
Yeah. I don't have Amazon Prime. I want to check out, what is it, Toadie Killer?
Yep, that's out tomorrow. VHS 85 is out on Shudder. Pet Sematary Bloodlines is out on Peacock or Paramount.
There is two Joe Bob specials this month. Like, there's two Halloween specials. He's actually going to be hosting Halloween next week on AMC, so that's pretty neat. I don't know, it just feels like a packed month. And then video games, like, you know, obviously don't even get us started. It's fucking crazy.
No, because you mentioned, I'm like, oh, that is all like 2 weeks away. 3 weeks away or something like that.
They're out, Spider-Man and Mario are out on the 20th.
Oh, that's 2 weeks from tomorrow. Okay. I was gonna say that not video game related, but I'm excited because I'm going to see The Thing on the big screen tomorrow. First time ever? One of my favorite movies?
That is also this month for me, the thing. I get to go see it the week after Friday the 13th Part 2. I get to go see the thing on the big screen.
That's kind of cool. Both being able to go do that.
Yeah.
I'm so excited. I just bought a bunch of tickets. And I tell my friends, like, I tell them, like, I'm not asking. You're going.
You're going.
I bought you a ticket. Please show up.
Oh, again, it wasn't even. It, literally, I would text it. I'm like, I'm not asking you. I'm letting you know it's this day. Because I bought it, like, you know, a month ago as soon as it went on sale. I'm like, I'm not asking. I'm telling you folks. Like, we're going to go. Here's the time. You can pay me back if you want. Don't care. I just bought it because it's one of my all-time favorite movies. I've never had the opportunity to see it on the big screen, and that opportunity came. I'm like, yes, I'm going to get it. I'm going to watch the thing.
I'm so psyched. Like my local theater, every Halloween, they'll like every Tuesday they'll play horror movies. Like you can go see, right? And it's one of these Egyptian theaters. It's really cool. It's like historic. But usually it'll be like they'll play like Halloween 1, Poltergeist. You know, always just like the most generic. Like, Nightmare on Elm Street Part 1, and just this year for them to finally do like Friday the 13th Part 2, I get so excited about that. I'm like, hey, a fucking, like, that's not a deep cut, but like deeper cut than like the original Halloween, you know what I mean? Like, I want to, like, I wish they would let me program their October because
nobody would kill like, out, but Jeff would be
happy. Yeah, maybe. I don't know, dude. Like, to me, if they were playing Friday the 13th Part 1, I don't know that I go, but I'm like...
No, I wouldn't go for Part 1.
Part 2 is like one of the best in the series, I think, and it's just like, okay, I've never seen that one on the big screen. I've seen Halloween on the big screen at this point, you know what I mean? Like,
I've seen Halloween on the big screen, that's another one.
Oh shit, Five Nights at Freddy's is streaming on Peacock on the 27th.
Yeah, thank God.
Also in theaters, but yeah.
I will watch that.
I watched it on Peacock. I wasn't going to theaters for that fucking movie.
Yeah.
It's huge, Buff. All around. Crazy, Buff.
It is insane to think about now that you laid it out like that. I mean, it's just like I felt bad because I was so excited for my theme this year. And then like this move got thrown in my app and I'm like, oh, okay. So I can't sit and watch foreign language films all packed in. So I'm hoping to save that for next year. But yes.
You're going to watch foreign language horror movies?
Well, that was my theme this year, was to do, I was going to do foreign language and then like the American remakes. So I did The Ring, and then I was just like, I had no time this week. And it's only going to get worse over the next week as I finalize the move. But I was just like, I can't do this. I can't. Because usually I watch them at work. I'm like, these are not movies you can sit down at work.
No, you have to watch them.
Yes, because you can't.
Like, it's a literally look at the screen.
It's just been a lot of. I watched. What did I watch today? I was going to say Jennifer Lawrence, not Jennifer Lawrence. Megan Fox. Jennifer's Body.
Yeah, I watched that a couple weeks ago, actually.
Very good. And it's like one of those.
I don't think it's that good. No.
I think it's a good, it does a good job of what it's going for, which is just kind of like, what if the, you know, sexualized person wasn't the victim? But yeah, but it was more so just like a movie I've seen that I can throw in the background, and it doesn't ask a lot of me. So yes, I guess in that regard, it's not necessarily a great movie, but it's good enough.
All right. Well,
I don't think any of us are. Oh,
go ahead, Earl.
I don't think any of us are getting it. But Detective Pikachu Returns is out this week, right? Or is that next week?
It is out soon. It did not look like it was getting great reviews.
So it should not have returned.
It's out tomorrow.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, right now it is running 67 on OpenCritic.
Oh, nice. I mean, I love it to death, but I do like that Nintendo can maintain the thing of like, oh, they're such a great company, they have such high quality games. And it's like, they've put out a lot of duds, it's just that we ignore them. They also had what everybody wants to switch this year. We don't talk about that anymore.
No, we all love Wii Sports from last year.
Do we though?
I'm still bitter about everyone fucking me. Oh, we're all gonna get it. And I was like, all right, I'll get it.
Nobody. Is that us?
Who said that? Who said they were gonna get it? I know. I didn't.
I did say I was gonna get it, but then Jeff was like, "This isn't that great."
So Jeff talked everyone out of getting it, and then complained that nobody got it.
No one listens to me. I said to get the clubhouse games, and no one listened to that either.
That is true. I remember actively ignoring that.
I still stand by that. That like clubhouse games is like a way better value than that Wii Sports thing. Because like all you want from the Wii Sports is the bowling, right? And
basically, yes.
Clubhouse has that, and Clubhouse has like cool board games and shit.
But I didn't want to play not that they're not cool. I just didn't want to play like the classic board games. Like I didn't really care about backgammon and.
That's the one I got into. It was backgammon. I was super into backgammon.
And
now I forgot how to play it.
But yeah. I'm just like, yeah, Detective Pikachu is going to be a game that came out. And a year from now, nobody, like, oh, right, there was a Detective Pikachu. I mean, I don't even remember the first Detective Pikachu, to be honest with you. So I can't even say there's a sequel. But I'm happy for the 5 people who do play it, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I hope they enjoy it. All right. Well, it sounds like Earl will not be here next week. we may have Assassin's Creed. We may have Forza. We have some other stuff as well to talk about, though. Lamplighters League, maybe.
I can tell y'all more about the insane amount of fucking Vampire Survivors I've been playing.
It is such an addictive game.
Dude, that game is such a 10 out of 10. It's so good.
Here's a question for you, Jeff. Are you going to play that the DLC for Resident Evil?
Which Resident Evil and what 4. DLC?
So they just released the Ada Wong DLC where it's story based, right? Like you play as Ada in those inner cuts.
Yeah, wasn't that a thing on the older version?
It was. Yeah. I think it was on. I don't know exactly how they did it. Maybe it unlocked separately or something. But
yeah, I remember it. I remember it being a thing.
Yeah. So that just came out. Seems like it's pretty good.
I've deleted the base game, so I think I'm fucked. I'm not gonna.
You'd have to reinstall the 100 and so gigs that game is. So
you know what's great is like it's late at night. You have a few drinks. You're like, I'm about to go to bed. Vampire Survivors. That game, it just fits. It's just perfect.
I think that Jeff is trying to set us on the ashiest game of the year contender.
Right.
Like, you know this game? He's like, this game is great.
Yeah. Never heard of it.
But it's just crazy how, like, you know, just like I picked it up. What happened was it came out on the Switch. They added the co-op, and I was like, telling my wife, like, you gotta try this game. And she never listens to me. She never believes me. I think I told you guys this, like, the first round she played, she was like, you like this? Why? And, like, now she's, like, the expert on that.
To be fair to her, I think you and I both had that same
reaction. That's everyone's reaction.
We played it.
Yeah, that's everyone's reaction to it. And I just told her, like, just, you know, trust me, it's pretty addictive. Like, it's cool. Like, you know, you like Diablo, you're going to like this. And then, like, now it's like, I see a pickup on the ground, like a power-up. She's like, this involves that. Like, she knows by memory, she knows what involves everything. She knows, like, she was the one that told me that, like, there's a hidden coffin in every level. There's permanent upgrades specific to the character that you could get in the levels, which I just started to discover. Like, it's just so much deeper than you would, like, probably, like, when we were talking about this for Game of the Year last year, I doubt any of us knew some of these things, like,
you didn't know about the coffin in every level?
No, I've still never, like, I don't think I've ever seen it.
I was gonna say, I feel like that's different because the game does point that out to you. Usually, there's like a giant arrow pointing towards it if it's in.
Or
it's
relics.
No, I thought it was also for the coffin.
I've never seen. I don't know.
I don't remember exactly when. I mean, I must have finished it right before we re-recorded. So I 100%ed the base game. So.
And you got the DLCs too.
Yeah, I did
I'm playing as the panda. Playing as the panda right now, which I think is a DLC character.
Yes, cool. I think that the panda was in, I think, the second DLC that came out, the moon spell one.
It's just so worth it too, because like they're only like I think $2 each. I just feel like they didn't ask me for enough for that game for the amount of hours I've gotten out of it. I'm like, hey, anything you want to release, if you want to release like a fucking whatever for $2, I'm buying it, you know. And I really hope the sequel is on its way. I imagine it is. They're getting a fucking series on Netflix, right? So
they need a sequel?
They could just keep building off of it, adding more.
Yes, they need a sequel. Level to it. I want a sequel.
Jeff wants Vampire Survivors 2.
Yeah, it's, fuck yeah, dude. That game is good enough. It deserves it. And they deserve to come in at a higher price point, in my opinion. Like, don't tell them I said this. I'm bad at negotiations here, but.
Yeah, I mean, at $5, like.
It's such a steal, dude. It's such a great game.
You get your money's worth, for sure.
Yeah.
I was going to say to Jeff's mind, it wasn't so much when I played it. It was when I would see people post it on social media. I had no idea what the hell I was looking at. And I'm like,
yeah, it's like crazy.
Yeah, it's not even crazy. It's just like, what are you doing? And then you pay and it's like, oh, you just walk around. And it's like,
yeah, yeah, it's amazing.
Then you pay someone, it's like, oh, you have to like walk around. Or you get to that point where it's like, you don't move in the game. It's like, we're going to rain destruction on everybody. And that's the best part.
love it so much.
Then there's like, so like to actually beat the game, there's like these, like you have to jump through some like convoluted steps and
yeah, it's pretty neat. I remember the first time I ran into Death.
Okay. Who you how do can you kill?
How do you Death. Kill? How? I can't. He kills me instantaneously. Like,
so you need to evolve like certain weapons that. You know, freeze time, slow down time, increase your resistance.
The one that freezes everything on the screen?
Yeah, like that'll slow him down.
Interesting. Melissa's gonna like freak out when I tell her this.
She's
obsessed like, with it. She's like, I want to kill him so
bad. Have her look up like some of the solutions for it. It's like they're pretty cool, but you have to go with certain builds.
Interesting. Really
you
cool.
also get to a point where like you're strong enough to like one shot him, but again, that is like very deep into the game, I think.
Yeah, I've never been there. The best I've gotten is he kills me, and I revive, and I hit him a couple more times before I die. That's it. Like the thing is, like comes at you, man.
At one point they throw multiple deaths at you.
Oh boy!
It gets crazy, Jeff. It's fun.
Great game, really great game.
All right. Well, we will be back next week, Earl. Good luck with your move.
Fingers crossed.
Hope that all goes well, and Jeff, say goodnight.
Good night.
From Vampire Survivors.